Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log. A single shot rifle and a one-eyed dog.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything you're hearing on the program this morning. Joining us now from the 6th Congressional District, we have Congressman Gary Palmer. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Let's kick it off here. Dust up a committee hearing earlier this week with Diane DeGette. She was a chairwoman of one of the subcommittees you sit on. The abortion issue, obviously, it looks to me like Democrats trying to make some hay out of it. But famous photo you tried to, maybe you weren't trying to enter it into record, but at least show it during the hearing and you got shut down.
It's not a controversial photo. It's a hot, celebrated photo. It was taken in 1999 by a USA Today reporter. It's been seen millions of times all around the world. And it was what made it so remarkable. It was an in utero surgery on a baby that had spina bifida. And it was done at Vanderbilt University Hospital, and during the surgery, somehow the baby's arm came out of the womb, and the doctor doing the surgery put his finger down there underneath the baby's hand, and they took that photo. And it's an example of the advances in medicine and the ability to treat patients even before they're born. And I just wanted to show that because it's an example that of the personhood of the child inside the womb. And I literally set this up by following up on something that the top Republican on the committee, ranking member Kathy McMorris Rogers, had said earlier in the hearing about the Declaration of Independence, that sentence that we're all so familiar with, Jeff, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're endowed with certain unalienable rights. And the first one that the founders listed was life, and that's where I started. And I made the point that, the reason that's the first right listed is because it's the prerequisite for all other rights. Without life, there's no liberty. Without life, there's no pursuit of happiness or privacy or choice. And I was simply going to ask, did that child that the doctor was operating on, is that a person? And by the way, that child is now a guy named Sam. He's 22 years old. He lives in Georgia.
Well, your colleagues on the Democrat side, it does seem as if, we had the kind of show arrest earlier this week with Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and some other members of Congress, but they're really trying to make hay out of this at this moment in time, it seems.
Well, to just show you how deceitful they are, several Democrats went over to protest outside the U.S. Supreme Court. And first of all, the first deceit was as though there was somebody at the Supreme Court, and they're not there. There may be some custodians and maybe a clerk or two, but there's nobody there. So it was not a real protest. And second, they walked away when the police came over to disperse the crowd with their hands behind their back as though they were handcuffed, and they were not. So that's just something that your listeners need to take into account, is the deceitful tactics that the Democrats are using. And again, I knew that if I wanted to enter something into the record, that there's a process for that. But I've seen people come in and put up posters of other things. And I didn't challenge the chairman's ruling, but it was very evident that they did not want to have that photo up, and they did not want to be confronted with a question as to whether or not that baby in that womb is a person.
Well, it seems to me, Tebby, if you think this is the case, that I think they're way off where the Democratic Party in Congress, at least, are the ones that are maybe speaking out on this. But I feel like they're way, way out of the mainstream on this issue. That they really are really tone deaf, it seems. That there's no middle ground here, right? It just continues to double down on the fringes.
Well, the bill they passed, that same child that you see its hand wrapped around that doctor's finger from that doctor putting his finger on underneath it, in their mind, was eligible to be dismembered and destroyed. It could have gone either way as far as they're concerned, because the bill they passed will allow abortion right up to the moment of birth. And you've literally got people in this country now arguing that until a baby is self-aware, it could be aborted. And you got one professor at Princeton, Peter Singer, that is now arguing that, and has been for a while, that parents should have up to 2 or 3 weeks to decide whether or not to let the baby live. I mean, that's insane.
What do you foresee? So Republicans, they get, let's assume they get control of Congress, or it's a pretty safe assumption, but do you see any movement on this on the Republican side? Is there more that can be done here? Maybe even if it's, I don't know, the adoption process or more federal resources for something like that, now that Roe v. Wade's no longer the law of the land?
Well, what I've said all along is the Dobbs decision really wasn't about abortion. It was about a restoration of representative government. It's more in the genre of the 10th Amendment, that the powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to or prohibited to it, are reserved to the states and to the people. And that's what's going to happen on this issue, is that it's going to be decided at the state level. What I think we need to be thinking about at both the federal and the state level is how do we help women who find themselves in this situation, and how do we help take care of children? And I know this is going to sound kind of maybe off the beaten path a bit, but I think we need to be looking at expanding education opportunities, particularly through school choice, because so many of these kids are in situations where they're in bad neighborhoods and bad schools. We've got to be thinking about how we help through foster care. There need to be massive improvements in that area. How do we help women navigate the challenges that they'll have to deal with? And I just think for all those people out there that claim to be pro-life, I think that you've got to show up. It's more than just mouthing a few words.
Yeah, so it's kind of tackling the problem more at a cultural level, right? And not making, I don't know if hopeless is the right word, but at least offering a sense of hope out there, and that would be through public education or whatever to better a quality of life.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you can go out, talk a good talk, but now we're at a place where we need to put our money where our mouth is, and put action to our words, and to be there to help people. And this is what I've told some of the pro-life advocates. The hard work is just starting.
Well, as we have to have these discussions, but the politics of it, just politics in general for Democrats right now, they really are hanging a lot on abortion, on the Dobbs decision, and on this January 6th committee. And I mean, while those are, I guess, somewhat important, and you don't want to discount, certainly don't want to discount abortion, but I don't think that's what people are really motivated by right now. It's got to be the economy, right?
You're exactly right. we've got highest levels of inflation that we've seen in 40 years, and I don't see it abating anytime soon. The policy that we're going to be putting forward, and by the way, we'll be rolling out our agenda in September because it's going to be an election of contrast. We're not coasting in on the incompetency of the Democrat Party and the Biden administration. There are things that need to be done to get the country on the right course, and we'll be laying out our agenda. But I want to go back for a minute to the court here. Dobbs obviously is center stage for what the court did, but that decision in EPA versus West Virginia is hugely important, where Dobbs basically restored representative government in that it sends the issue back to the states. The EPA versus West Virginia case takes on the administrative state. And Jeff, you and I have talked about this, about the bureaucracies making law. And that I think, just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what should be coming back from the court now in other cases that force Congress to actually do its job. And I blame Congress and past Congresses for writing nebulously written laws and passing those and sending them over and letting bureaucrats actually write the laws and call it rulemaking or regulations. That's hugely important.
Well, in a lot of this with the court, saying this essentially, that the federal government doesn't have these powers, they're kind of rolling back. The judicial branch is actually saying we don't have this ability, not at least not constitutionally, the way we're constituted. Now, we could, if Congress decided we could, but we don't. So we're delegating it back to the states.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be impactful in the sense that we'll address some of these executive orders, so like Biden declaring a national climate emergency. That's an abuse of power. I mean, you keep doing stuff like that, and you're going to have a constitutional crisis. The lawmaking exists within the states. Can you imagine after Pearl Harbor if President Roosevelt had issued an executive order declaring war on Japan? If ever there's been an existential threat in the last 75, 80 years, that would have been the morning of December 7th, yet Congress exercised its constitutional authority to issue a declaration of war. The president rightly called for it, but he respected the role of Congress. We're seeing the Biden administration act like a dictator, that they completely bypass Congress.
It looks to me like a lot of it is just desperation, like that nothing the Biden administration is offering. There's no movement in your branch of government for any of it. And let's just throw up a bunch of executive orders and see if something will stick. And apparently, even if it were constitutional or if it were allowed, it doesn't look like it's helping any either.
No. You know, the House is going to pass a bunch of legislation, but it's not going anywhere in the Senate. And thank God we still have a filibuster. I can't imagine where we would be after just 2 years of the Biden administration. And then you have people like Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, saying, oh, well, we can solve the price of gas problem because everybody will just get an electric vehicle. Pete, I need to let you know, if you can't afford the gas at the pump, probably can't afford the electric vehicle. You probably can't even afford the increase in your power bill for your electric vehicle.
Well, Congressman, we got to leave it there, but thanks for joining us on kind of short notice and talking to us about that ordeal earlier this week.
Well, I always appreciate you having me on, Jeff. You do a great job.
You're very, very kind to say that. Congressman Gary Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.